everything that he'd done, everything that he chooses to do, the reason why he calls is somehow based around this, simply because of the fact that he wants to be known for who he is. The world has painted a picture of who he is. We've got so many ideas, so many talks, so many sermons, so many everything. And sometimes it's not always painting a clear picture of who he is. And this is a great desire of him. So, but before I get into that, I've got to tell a story. Some of you might know that I've been to Canada recently, and I've just got back this weekend. And when I was there, arrived at the airport, and my father had hired a car, and I had the privilege, or not so big privilege, to drive this car in a foreign land. And I was reminded of a story that that someone told me, so I've got to share it. He said he arrived in the country, and it was in America, at the airport, got his car, climbed into the, or went first to the door, and so, other side obviously, and he went to the car, and he climbed in. And fortunately, it was super quiet on the road, so he started driving, and no one was on the road, and he says, well, you see, this is a bit uncomfortable, but I'm sure I can get used to this. And he drives, and he drives, and all of a sudden, the cops pull him over, or sirens, and he's now very nervous. He was nervous to start off with, he kind of thought that he could do this. And then the cops pulled him over, and he put down his window, this side, put down his window, and the cop said, listen, he didn't even ask for his license or registration, nothing. He said, listen, you're driving on the wrong side of the road. And his response was, no ways. And he said, listen, you're driving on the wrong side of the road here. And his response was, no, you don't understand. I've been driving like this all my life. Now, this guy was about 60-odd years old, so he'd been driving for quite some time. And he said, no, I've been driving my whole life like this. I'm South African. This is what I've been doing. And the cop looks to him and says, nothing. And he turns around and he walks to his cop car, picks up the radio. He's calling head office and he says, calling all stations in his American accent. And he says, we've got a South African here in town for however long he was there. Please change the road rules so that he will feel comfortable here in America. And he walks back and he says, sir, you may proceed. And he looks at him and says, well, obviously not. No, that wasn't the case. So sorry, just to let you know, the story did not happen. But it was a story that one of my mentors said, and we are somehow doing the same in God's kingdom. It was a beautiful picture that when we meet the Lord, step into his kingdom, we've got our old ways that we've been driving with, or walking with, or knowing, and all of a sudden we want to bring those ways into his kingdom and drive on the same way. And it doesn't work like that. So we get into the car, we know, okay, if the steering wheel's on the wrong side, I'm okay with that, I can adjust, I can do these little changes. But we are so used to driving on that side of the road that we try to do it when we head into a foreign country or when we head into God's kingdom. And just before we head into this, I really want to make this clear that, or a prayer desire, that we will just think differently. We can change the slide. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And if we are to know what his perfect, good, pleasing will is, then we've really got to start thinking differently. We've really got to start thinking in line with his word in everything that we do. We can't keep on driving on the wrong side of the road in God's kingdom. And it's something, I guess, for me, it's a process of constantly asking the Lord, please, Lord, help me so that I will think according to your word, so that I will understand according to your word, so that I can operate according to your word. Then I will know what is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So with that in mind, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to think like you think. We want to operate the way that you operate. And I know that we've been brought up in a world where there's ways and it's different. And somehow we as people are so easy just to adjust and to take on those ways and to walk in them. But Lord, I pray that as we enter in your kingdom, and if we are in your kingdom, Lord, then we will operate according to your kingdom. That we'll realize that I've got to drive on the other side of the road here, that it's very different. Because if we don't, Lord, it is hazardous. I know that. If we are driving on the wrong side of the road in your kingdom, just as someone driving on the wrong side of the road in a different country, it is hazardous for both the driver and everyone around. So therefore, I ask for grace to renew our minds, Lord, that we will be able to think in line with your word. And we can't do that in our own strength, Lord, so therefore I ask that you will help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do it in two sections. It's knowing him and making him known. So starting with the knowing him, and just from a personal side, I walked a very rebellious life, and then I met the Lord. And when I did, everything changed for me. My circumstances didn't change one little bit. I was in circumstances that were quite gloomy, gray, didn't know many people. It was not so ideal. But when I finally came to that point and I surrendered, Lord, I want to reach out to you. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. Everything in my heart changed. Everything. And it wasn't just this ooky spooky over spiritual situation. It was really real. And it was beautiful. Things became pretty for me. I looked outside to the mountains and I kind of thought, I'm seeing this for the first time. And I started speaking to people and it was just different. Everything changed when I got to know the Lord. And I don't want to speak about me personally, but it's something that I see in the Psalms of David. It's something that I see all over the Word. When people get to know him, something is changing. Circumstances, maybe no, but something is changing. The way that they their perspective, their attitude, everything changes. And slowly out of that, I see a process of circumstances changing. And we've got to ask ourselves, how are we looking at our circumstances in the country at the moment? How are we looking at our circumstances at home? And Crystal said something this morning. He's got this joy or desire to be walking or living out this joy because of where he is. And it struck me. I thought, you know, we've got this whole thing happening in our country at the moment. And there's this whole I'm staying, hashtag I'm staying. Anyone heard of that? Hashtag I'm staying. And I'm seeing all the beautiful things in South Africa, and it's stunning. But if we are not walking in relationship with the Lord, then it will be short-lived. And what Christoph said this morning was as a result of his relationship with the Lord. So he's inspired, motivated. He's got this beautiful joy, regardless of circumstances. And he's saying, this is real. And this is a result of knowing him. So there's one thing that that really scares me, and I feel the need to share it. And it's in line with knowing him or not knowing him. It's a scripture from Matthew 7, 21 to 23. If you've got your word, you can open it. Otherwise, have a look. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father, which we found out now, if we start thinking differently, we'll know what that will is. Who is in heaven, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. And this is one of the greatest fears that I have. Not necessarily for myself at the moment. I know that I love the Lord. I'm getting to know him. I'm seeing him in fresh ways as I journey with him. But for family and friends that are in a place where, well, I've been going to church all my life. Children are Sunday school. I've even been doing things in his name. But not knowing him intimately. Not desiring him as him being enough. And this scares me. This is a daunting thought that we could maybe live our whole life going through this journey, thinking, but not knowing. And getting to a place where the Lord is going to say, sure, I didn't know you. And then the other side is also real. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life, I think this is a big question for everyone in the world. What is eternal life? How does it look? How do I get it? A lot of the people in the Bible ask, How do I do this? How do I get there? And he responded in many scriptures, this is one of them, that they know you, that we know the Lord. So if we've got any desire to experience eternal life here on earth, wondering what is happening after this, then the only way forward is to know Him intimately. And it's not rocket science. It's pretty straightforward. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ, getting to know Him. And we're going to be looking at some of the elements, or I say elements, some practical ways that we can get to know Him. Because if we don't, then I'm afraid we're going to get to that point where He's going to say, "Shoot, I didn't know you. Shoot, I didn't. You've done all these great things. You were at congregation every Sunday. You even prayed every morning before work. You did all these things, but I didn't know you." And so somehow I'm seeing a great importance of this very basic thing of just getting to know God personally, an intimate relationship with Him, to the point of eternity with Him or not. And one of the Psalms, I've got to read it, Psalms 19. This was just a response of someone that knew God. And it was David. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." And then it goes on and it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple." And then he goes on later and he says, "This is more precious than gold, much more pure than gold. They are sweeter than honey, the honey from a comb." And he just carries on. And what I'm seeing from David, this is not a nice thing that he's trying to say. He's really experienced God, walked in relationship with Him. As a result, he's walking outside and it's like, "Oh, this is hectic." And then he reads His word and he's thinking, "Oh, this is really real. This is purer than gold." And I'm wondering, where are we in this? Because we cannot fake it. We cannot fake outside and, "Oh, look at the pretty birds." And yes, we sure can say these things. But what I'm seeing in David is that he had a personal relationship with the Lord, and it compelled him and it drove him to sing these beautiful songs and express this reality that he was expressing, and it was stunning. I desire that as an individual. I desire to look outside and say what David said. And I know that it only comes from a place of knowing Him. Okay, so who of us likes working with our hands here? Practical. We like working with our hands. So before we go on, I don't have an exercise, but I just want to ask, those that is practical, or maybe you can just have a guess, can we look at? Who could probably tell? Anyone build this? Yeah? No? You build this? Oh. Because that would be a bit unfair. Who would be able to say what is the exact dimension of this thing? Anyone want to try to take a guess? Practical guys? 45 millimeters. 450. 450 millimeters? 45 millimeters? Millimeters? Centimeters. Just want to make sure. No, chart is a technical drawing, technical guy. Anyone else? So we could have a guess and we could kind of try and we could get into it, but the reality is we would need one of these to find out exactly. 490. Pretty close, but it's 490. And before we get into that, I really want to bring out the importance of this. Before getting to know Him, or if we're in a place where we do know Him, or if we're in a place of getting to a place of making Him known, this has got to be our measuring tape. Everything that we do, don't do, the decisions that we make, the things that we are looking forward of getting into, this needs to be our measuring tape. We've got to measure everything that we are doing or not doing against the Word. And God has given us absolutely everything in here to do that. And that's getting to know Him and making Him known for this, what we're speaking about today. So the utter importance of our word shouldn't be underestimated. We'll be able to tell exactly, is this what I should do or not do? Is this the length of this thing or not? And we can try to take a guess, and I think a lot of people in the worldwide church is doing this. We're kind of just running on our experiences, running on what we've heard. And that's maybe part of it, but if it's not measured against God's word, then it is dangerous. And that's one of the reasons why he hasn't been made known for who he really is in many areas. Okay. So, a few practical ways of getting to know him. And I really want to be putting emphasis on this. Is if there's something that we apply, it will bear fruit. Simple as that. If we apply this, it will bear fruit. So for starters, and some of us are here, and I'm not sure, maybe some of us are not, reborn. The Lord talks about being reborn. John 3 verse 3, it says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are reborn." So reborn meaning coming to the place where we desire to be born of the Spirit. Lord, I want to walk with you. I need your Spirit in order to see and get to know you. I need to be reborn. And some of us are there. Some of us have made that choice. Repent and be baptized, was said. I think John said it, listen, or a few said it. Repent and be baptized. Acts 2 verse 23. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, in order to get to know Jesus, we really need to have His Spirit to get to know Him deeper. And that's just a fact. In order to understand this word and what it truly meant, I need to be reborn and have the Holy Spirit. And then it makes sense to me. I remember before I gave my life to the Lord, and before I had the Spirit, I tried to read this thing, and I did it often. And at times it's like, what is this thing saying to me? I know it's important, I know it's relevant, but what is this thing trying to say to me? Because all that I see at the moment is a bunch of rules, and don't do this, and do this, and stop doing that, and if you do this, then this will happen, and it just seems like hard work. And then I met the Lord, and I received His Spirit. I was baptized, and I started understanding this thing. I started understanding that it's not just a bunch of rules and regulations. I started seeing my God in the midst of this book. I started seeing His character and what He loves and what He doesn't. Not so much about me, myself, and I, but about Him. And as I started to get to know Him and read this word, I started realizing, whoa, I've got an amazing God. And out of this, I could start applying these things so that I could get to know Him better and have His grace so that I could live this thing out. And there's just a few practical things. We need to be reborn. We need to repent and be baptized. And if we have been reborn, if we have come to that place of, Lord, sure, I see my sin. I see where I am. I repent. I want to move forward with you. I want to be baptized. Then great. But He says to continue to repent in a few of the scriptures. Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Acts 3:19. I get to that place often where I need these refreshing times. Where I want to kind of, oh Lord, I don't get you here. No, I love you and I've been reborn, but I don't get you here. And very often, according to the word, He says, just breathe. Look where you're at. Look at the things that you've got involved with. Repent. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. In Matthew 3 verse 8, it says, produce fruit by keeping with repentance. It's pretty straightforward. Keeping with repentance will produce fruit. There's many things that I repent of constantly. I'm living in a world of sin that tempts me. I get entangled with this often. And that goes, I remember speaking last time of repentance, and I kind of see this as a big sledgehammer of just breaking down this whatever I have put up between me and the Lord. The Lord will never leave or forsake, He said that, but I do things or get involved with things, and I build this kind of barrier in between me, and I see repentance as this massive sledgehammer, just driving that down. And it says it also in Hebrews 12 verse 1. Throw off everything that entangles us. He was talking about that in sin. The sin that entangles us and keeps us back from moving forward with Him. Circumstances with choice. I don't know about you, but a lot of circumstances have brought me closer to God. It's developed this personal intimacy with God. Circumstances that is good, circumstances that is terrible. And the choice, why I put that there, because in every circumstance I've got a choice. Is God faithful? Or do I believe God is faithful anyways? Or do I choose to moan, complain, grudge about where I'm at right now? And looking at David, looking at Joseph, looking at Jesus, looking at Moses, looking at every single individual, they go through these circumstances, and somehow in the midst of that, they make choice, and their intimate relationship, their character is built, and as a result, they get to know their Creator beautifully. And as a result, they get to be used by their Creator beautifully also. And it is stunning for me. So the circumstances that we face every day, this is one practical way that we can either make a choice in the midst of that to say, Lord, I don't get what is going on right now, but I choose to read my word, I choose to be faithful, I choose to know that you are faithful, and I choose and I ask that you will reveal yourself to me in the midst of this. And when he does, we get to know him more intimately. We get to see him in the midst of where we are every day. But it comes with a choice, and it comes with being faithful in our word, and it comes just with faith. Lord, this I can't see. It doesn't make sense. I don't want to see. Just be faithful. Humility. James 4 verse 6 says, he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we choose to walk in humility, then he will give grace. If we choose to think that we are the all-important and proud, and unfortunately, according to the word, we are going to be opposed. We are not going to get to know him intimately. So we need to walk in humility. And just a definition quickly of what humility is. Just need to get it here. The quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. Not of oneself, one's importance, according to Google's dictionary. And this is extremely important. That we don't view less of ourselves necessarily, but just of our importance. Where we realize, well, what God desires, what he longs for, his dreams, his passions, what he longs to do, this is important. And whatever he chooses to do and longs to do, I just kind of want to fit into that and find my purpose in the midst of that. He is important. He's got the greater plan. He knows best. I don't. So I choose to kind of just submit to that and say, Lord, I don't know. I've been to a few places where that word, I don't know, is a struggle to say. People ask questions. People want to know a lot of things. And we're living in an age where knowledge and kind of getting to know everything is quite strong at the moment. And in Canada at the moment, they've just got the answers on the tip of their finger everywhere they go. What about just saying, well, I don't know, but I will depend on the Lord in moving forward in whatever it is I don't know. And that is unreal, to be honest with you. Spending intentional time with God, quite straightforward, and this is getting alone with him, intentional. Moving to a place where it's the morning, evening, in the afternoon, however your day looks, where we can just get to a place and spend time intimately, sitting alone. Being alone with him. Now I said, I always use this as an example with my wife. We've got busy programs, all of us do. And I, in the midst of every day, I get to know her well. Where she's operating and I'm operating and we work together and it's great, I get to know her. But it is so crucial that I make the plan to get my children babysitting, whatever that is, to get them out of our sight at the moment, and then just to go have an intimate time with her, whether it's a meal, whatever it may be, so that I can say, no, and it's good. Have a list of questions of what we must do now. It is just spending time with her. And most of the time it is refreshing. It is good. And I've experienced that with the Lord. So every time that I just choose, take this time out, and I want to sit with you for half an hour. You're going to reveal something to me in your word, or whatever it is, but I just want to talk to you, and I want to hear your voice. And yeah, I'll dig into your word, but really, all I really want to do right now is just be with you alone. And every time that we do that, I can almost guarantee you, you will experience his fruit. you will experience him in a fresh way. And if you don't, well, then you won't. So it's quite straightforward. Every time I do, it's beautiful. So I encourage you. See him, talk with him, hear him in the midst of your everyday. This is an art that we need to learn. Don't let the busyness be an excuse. Everywhere I go, how are you doing? Oh, it's busy. Going. Everyone is busy, and it's real. Everyone is busy. And so therefore, we need to learn the art of hearing his voice in the midst of our busyness, seeing him in the midst of where we are, talking to him in the midst of our everyday, walking in the orchard or in the office. Oh, Lord, just a normal conversation, just speaking to our God and desiring to hear his voice in the midst of our everyday. If we do that, we will get to know him deeply. This is an art that I think is kind of skipped off, it's pushed away, that we don't do so often. We need to learn to walk with him in this life every day. Not just a quiet, intentional kind of alone time with God. We really can get to know him in the midst of our busyness. Okay, and then obviously lastly, the Bible. John 1 verse 1 says that he became flesh. The Word became flesh. And if we just read our Bible, if we listen to our Bible, if we just operate and just dig in here, we will get to know him. We will get to see his character. We will get to see the stuff that he loves and doesn't like. Our relationship with him will deepen for sure. That is just a reality. That's a fact that will happen if we jump into this Word. I remember when I stayed in New Zealand for a couple of years, I was working with my hands, very busy in the midst of beautiful fields. And I just had this desire. I wanted to explore his Word more. So I got nowadays it's easy. I got an app that you can just listen to the Word. NIV, Bible, and I just listen. And what I gained from that was my Lord. I saw him freshly. I got to know him intimately, just as a simple reality of listening to his Word. Often, I do it in the car. I'm driving. I don't have time to pick up my Bible and read. I listen to his Word. And the more I listen, the more that Word who became flesh becomes real to me. Jesus, his character. And so I urge you, if we do these things, so some of us may be reborn, some of us have repented and been baptized, some of us go through circumstances, some of us live in humility, sometimes we don't, sometimes we do, we realize we're proud, intentional time with God, see him, talk with him, all these things. If we apply this, I'm almost 100% certain that you will get to know him intimately. And that journey with him never ever stops. I'm learning. It never stops. I haven't been walking with him for too long, although it doesn't matter, and it just never stops, this beautiful journey with my Lord. It is absolutely stunning. It's always new, it's always fresh, it's always beautiful. And then there's times where it's not. And then I have to just be faithful in the circumstances. And I come out of that and I look back and I say, sure, Lord, you are good. The next section is making him known. Making him known. So I want to emphasize here that know him and making him known, they cannot be separated. And if they are, it is disastrous. It is hazardous. And it is happening very often in the world today. That a lot of people in a place where I know Jesus and I'm applying his Word in business. I'm applying his Word so at my home so that I could have a better family life, so that I can this, so that I can all these things. And we kind of just leave the responsibility of making him known out so that we can have a better lifestyle. But while we are here, quickly, just if you have come with someone, chat with them. If you are alone, think about it. Think of three places where you find yourself mostly. Three places that you are finding yourself spending the most time. So obviously one of them would probably be work. So just think about it. If you're alone, if you're with someone, chat, where do you spend the most time in your week? Three places. maybe I could just get one or two, three places. Where do you spend your time mostly during the week? Shop. It's a woman that said that. Okay, shopping is practical. That's where we spend a lot of time during the day or in the week. Okay, shop. Where else? Ace, home. Spend a lot of time at home. Okay, where else do we spend time? School. Spend a lot of time at school if we are there. Work. Spend a lot of time at work. Driving. Spend a lot of time driving. Exercise. Oefen. Sport. Exercise. Sport. Any other place? Sleeping. That's true. That's true. We spend a lot of time sleeping. Hopefully not too much. Folding up the arms. Where else? Last one. Okay. So, what I want us to try and just see, and there's many ways that we can make him known for sure, but for this session maybe, is how can we do this in the midst of our everyday? How can we get practical where we spend the most time? Because this is going to be the key, I think, in the ways for our community, is where we are every day, how can we make him known? So first of all, we need to identify where are we spending the most time. And there where we are spending the most time, who is there around us? Who's in the midst of our everyday? And how can we make him known in the midst of our everyday? So I want to stop on this next scripture because I think it kind of sums up everything. He answered, it's Luke 10 verse 27. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. All your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Later on it says in this, I think in Matthew, so it's also the greatest commandment, he said, the Lord said that all the law and prophets hang on this scripture. So this scripture, the law and all the prophets and everything that's basically in this word is hanging on this. That's a pretty important thing. And knowing him and making him known is basically this. Love your Lord with all your heart. Know him. And love others around you like you love yourself. And basically everything within this word hangs on this scripture. So this is crucial. And we've heard it a million times probably. I heard it before I knew the Lord. I thought that's cute. That's pretty nice. Beautiful. You know, love other people the way that I want to be loved. Do other things to other people the way that I want. And then just somehow this I thing that comes in the midst of that. And it's wrong. But let's hang on here. Then the Lord gave a bit of an explanation of who his neighbor is. A man was going down. Sorry, if you can't see it, turn to your Bibles. Luke 10 from 30 to 35. A man was going down from Jerusalem. And what Jesus is doing, kind of someone asked him, but who's my neighbor? How do you define this neighbor thing? Tell me, who's my neighbor? And Jesus answered, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by on the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. And so, we've got a kind of an idea from this scripture, a few things that I just want to point out. And what Jesus was saying, who's our neighbor? And I think in the midst of our everyday, we can identify people that is in need. And we can serve them. And I really want to bring out service, the tool here. serving, just for this, there's many ways, there's outreaches, but for where we are, let us try and be practical. And what we saw here in this scripture, the way that Jesus was expressing, was serve the guy's need. Serve his need. He's got a need here. He's struggling. He's in a place where he needs something. Serve him. And the guy did it. A couple of things that I want to bring out here, or maybe just two for now, and I think we face it every day. A couple of people went past and they saw him, and they made the choice just to kind of pass on by. And then another one came past and they saw this guy, and he chose to do something. He chose to serve his need. I'm faced very often with going past and seeing a need and just walking by. So, what I want to get into here is serving. But before we do that, we need to know that there's a cost to be counted. Counting the cost, Luke 14, 25 to 34. It wouldn't be wise for me to say, get to know the Lord and it's beautiful and making him known, without saying there will be a cost. It's just a reality. And as the Lord used this picture in Luke 14, he said, listen, if someone is going to build a house or a tower or build something, surely you're going to sit there and work out some finances, you're going to plan a bit, you're going to find out what materials you need, and then you're going to kind of work out the cost of those materials, and then you're going to find out, well, okay, I think our budget is suitable for this building. I think we can go ahead with this. And therefore, we do it. And the Lord is saying the same with his kingdom, getting to know him, making him known. Listen, if you choose to get to know him, then you've got to know that there's going to be a cost involved. And if you are not making that cost or counting the cost, then I don't advise you get involved with this. Because what the Lord said afterwards with the building's kind of half standing, half the guy didn't have any money. People walked past and thought, this guy's a fool. They ridiculed him. We don't want to be in a place where we are not counting that cost. And it's going to cost us something. It's really going to cost us something. And some of them is time. Effort. Most of the time when we get involved with broken people, it is messy. We get dirty. It's not fun. It's costing us our time. It doesn't say the Samaritan. It doesn't give any clue of where he was on his way to, what he was busy doing. He just said he was riding on his donkey and he saw this guy. He must have thought, you know what, I don't really have time at the moment, but he climbed off his donkey. He served this guy. And then he put him on his own donkey and he walked back. This is messy. I'm full of people. These are just basic illustrations of what God is saying. It's counting the cost. Some of them for us, and I'm going to get into the serving part now, but there was an example yesterday. Now, I just got back from Canada. I'm pretty tired. At the moment, I'm preaching at, what's the time now? At 2:44 in the morning, and my body is telling me that. It's quite, jet lag is real. And my wife had now planned for one of the neighbors, someone that was staying on the farm, that she was getting married. We had prayed for her for quite some time, that she would eventually just get married to the man that she's got children with, so that she could be faithful and move forward from this point. Eventually, she made the choice to get married, which is beautiful, honor God and his word. And my wife said, but listen, come take photos at our house. She will bake the cake and all these things. And I got home on from Canada, and she said, well, I've got all these things planned. And there's a bunch of people coming to our house on Saturday. I'm thinking, do you know that I just got back from Canada? I'm super tired. I haven't slept in 40 hours from this flight. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes the serving is the most basic things. And the serving is not just a cute baking a cake. The reason why we do that is so that we can build relationship. So that we can walk a road with whoever it is. So that we can start sharing who our God is. And as a result of Lisa serving as my wife, serving this lady Maria, they have got this beautiful relationship. And Maria is starting to see this creator that she never knew before. She had heard of him over and over and over at church where she is. This punishing God who just, you know, if you do something wrong, then it's... But as a result of Lisa just identifying the need in this woman's heart and her need at home, and doing it consistently, serving that as a tool to get involved with Maria, get involved in her life. And it's these small things that we're going to get into. So counting the cost. Another one is just an example, and we're going to get into a few things of how we can do this. We are operating in Coburg-Gefeld using all sorts of tools to get involved with schools, and this is my work. And someone had a desire to get involved with us. They just said, listen, if I can just drive with you in the afternoons for an hour and just see what you're doing. And I saw it as a kind of an opportunity just to walk with this person and serve the need. And we dropped her off at home, and I saw, you know, her house is broken. And I just had this desire to serve the need in front of her as a neighbor, to be honest with you, as this neighbor that God was talking about. And we did. We started serving the need. Very cute stuff. Fixed the window, fixed the door. I had a bit of time extra to do that, so I could. But as a result of doing this and doing it consistently with her, the other day we were driving in the vehicle on the way to school. And we were talking about God. We were talking about it, just being honest. And she turned around and she looked at me. And I didn't do anything special. I didn't do anything spectacular. I was just involved with someone within my community and serving needs that I saw, and gave me the opportunity to spend enough time just to speak about my God and testify of what He has done, and just to serve Him. Basic. And when Lisa served her, and eventually where she came to the point where she realized, and she was shocked by us what she said, I'm busy falling in love with God. And it's simply as a result of time being spent. I also realized that when I count the cost and I choose to operate, continue to operate anyways, I am living fully. And this is a personal thing. I'm living fully. Not ideally, not in this ecstasy, ecstatic world where everything is perfect for me, not at all. But somehow there's a fullness as a result of saying, Lord, I know you, and I know part of knowing you is making you known, so therefore I want to, and I will count these costs, whatever it is, if it's time, sacrifice, whatever it is, I choose to do that. As a result, I'm full. So when we see counting the cost, we mustn't think, oh man, really, do I have to, this is just not like that. I rather, there's somehow a fullness that comes as a result of counting the cost, of moving in obedience according to God's word. And if there's not a fullness, then we've got to ask ourselves the question, where am I not obeying? Where am I not operating in God's will? And it doesn't mean it's now easy and beautiful and all, but it's full. Okay, so if you turn to the next slide, tool is serving. And for this one, there is many tools that we can make God know. But I just want to emphasize on this, serving where we are. And remember, think about those three places where you're at the moment. Sleeping is not going to work so well, because there's not many people in the midst of sleeping. So think about three places or two places, or even if it's one place, where you operate and you spend the most time. Think about who is there. Think about who's in the midst of your everyday. So when we're in a place, I think if we've got a desire, like this guy, the Good Samaritan had, to serve, to help, to live out the word in a very basic way. This is not training sessions and courses that we try to bring people into. This is everyday life in the midst of our everyday. We need to start learning to be the church in everyday. Just to start serving our neighbor. Getting messy in the midst of our community. And if we've got that desire, we will be able to identify in our everyday, how can I just serve this? How can I serve this? I said it last time, one of my leaders told me, Brett, you need to be like an ant. Constantly having these kind of antennas or feelers. Wherever you go, you've just got to identify the need there. Just feel it out. Check where you can serve. If it's the smallest or the greatest of things. And so often, we try to make this whole, great, like, what can I do great? What is my purpose? And how can I? We're actually in the midst of our everyday, there's places that we can just serve a basic need. And as a result, we can build relationship or get into a place where we can start building a relationship. So when we serve, have the desire to build relationship with whoever it is that you're with every day. And think about them. Who are they? Think of their names. Someone said, we spend a lot of time at home. That's true. Do you know your neighbor's name? Because they're the people around you. If that's where you spend a lot of time, do you know your neighbor, your literal neighbor, the guy that's standing next door? And if you don't, why not? Identify the need and serve it. It's this thing that I said about the, you know, when you get in the midst of that, you will just see. I drove to this girl's house and I just saw that this window is broken. And I know that there are all women in the house and they really can't fix it. It's a really basic thing. As a result, I asked her, can I help? And it was a bit awkward for her. I don't want to be a charity case. I said, no, it's not cool. I just see you guys are a bunch of women at home. Yeah, there is in my house. Can I help you fix that? To be sure. As a result, we got to know each other. As a result, we spent enough time together with her and my wife, where eventually she said, it wasn't a session that I took into a course or a big training or seminar or anything. It was just spending time identifying the need to serve. And something happens in the spiritual realm. That's what Jesus chose to say. He was the greatest servant. Servant leader, serving. And out of that, he healed many people. And out of that, he did all these amazing things that we see in the Word. But his heart was, my people are there and I need to go and serve them. They need something. And it came out of make effort. Straightforward. It's going to cost you effort. I need to make extra effort to drive there on a Saturday to do whatever I needed to do. It's going to cost effort. It's part of counting the cost. If you do not do it, it will not happen. You will not build relationship. You will not get into a place where you can really make it known and experience the fullness of being part of what God is doing. Make effort. Straightforward. Consistency is key here. Consistency is key. If you're going to go and serve and paint the creche or do anything that's worth doing, great, beautiful. But if it is not consistent serving, consistent walking with, then we can never make our God. That is just a matter. I think in marketing, a lot of people that in marketing would say the same. They say the best way of marketing is consistency. It's not good enough for me to come and bring apple here and say this is a beautiful apple thing and just once off and then I don't ever market again. If I really want to make this thing known, I need to do it consistently. It needs to be a consistent marketing strategy or whatever it is. This is I want this. I need to see the importance of this. So consistency in the midst of where we are. Remember, I'm going to say it again. Remember those places where we are. Whoever it is, choose to serve them consistently. Build relationship. Testify in Psalms 105 verse 1. It says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known amongst the nations what he has done. Simply what he has done. There is power in God's word. When we testify of what he has done, something will happen in hearts. I believe that with all my heart. If we stop trying to beat around the bush and try to make this presentable for everyone, and we just say what it's saying in here, there is power in it. And not what has God done for me and how I have become this. No, just tell people what he's done, who he is. There will be fruit in that, according to his word. Pray consistently and specifically for whoever it is that you're involved with in these three places. If it is vehicle, whoever, pray for them consistently. Go home and close your door. Pray for them specifically. Very important. When you get to know them, I guarantee you, you will start hearing their hearts without them desiring to share it. You will start identifying what their struggles are without even them saying it. It just happens in relationship. That's what happens. If we're spending enough time with someone, things come out. We get to hear. We get to experience what they need. And we can pray for them specifically and consistently. This is key. Follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It comes back to knowing Him. If we are not knowing Him and following Him, there's no way we can set that example for others to see. Sure, I desire to know this God that you know. I desire to walk with this God the way that you are walking, because I'm seeing fruit in the midst of bad circumstances. I'm seeing joy in the midst of the macabre world. I'm seeing this, what I desire, and I need this. I want to overcome where I am. And then, know your word. We talked about that. If you know your word, you'll be equipped in all circumstances. Know your word. Dig into it. Listen to it. Read it. Exercise it. Practice it. Live it out. Read it again. And carry on for the rest of your life until you're in that day. Because we need this. And then by the Spirit. Colossians 1 verse 27 says that He is the only hope of glory in us. If we walk into a situation and we're trying in our own strength, we will fail. Because He is the only hope of glory in us, who's going to work through us to reveal Himself to whoever it is who's there in these three places, whether it's our neighbors, people at work, at the gym, in the shop that we go constantly to. And in such a place like Cirrus, this is possible. I go to Pick and Pay, and the cashiers that I see every Sunday or every week, kind of get to know them. I know their name now. They're there all the time. I can really reach out to them in such a way where I can just build a relationship with them and start serving their need, where I can walk consistently with them enough to hopefully where they will come to a point and say, you know what? I'm seeing Jesus for the first time in a fresh way. I want to walk with Him. And then walk with Him and continue to walk with Him. In Matthew 10 verse 16 it says, we are going to be sheep sent out amongst wolves. This is also a reality. And I don't know about you guys, I stay in a farm in the Kouwebokkenveld. I've never seen a sheep overcome a wolf. I don't think I will ever see a sheep overcome a wolf. The only way that the sheep will ever be safe in the midst of wolves is if the shepherd is there. If the shepherd leads, guides, leads the wolf to death, whatever the case may be. And that is our Lord. There is no way that we can think we're going to be consistent in these three places to serve the need and make God known without walking with our shepherd, because we are being sent amongst wolves. This is what the word is saying. So dependency on God, knowing that He's the only hope of glory through us, this is key. This is key. Serve the need. You can change there. Go back one, sorry. Serve the need. So let's look at what we can do practically to respond to knowing Him in line with the mentioned scriptures. This is really just a practical thing. I think if we really apply this, we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit. I want to finish, not finish off now, but there's a scripture and it's the Great Commission. All of us know it. And before you go there, you can go back. The Great Commission is well known all over the world. But the fruit of it is not so well known. And it is there. There is fruit. That is for sure. The Great Commission, if I ask most people wherever I am, what is the Great Commission? 80 to 90 or probably even more % will say, go out to all nations, make disciples, etc., etc., etc. We know the scripture. But I'm seeing that that's not the full Great Commission. And I'm realizing and I'm learning and I'm challenging myself, what is it that is not bearing fruit? Go to that scripture now. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And I think this is one of the reasons why the worldwide church is struggling and bearing not the fruit that we should be seeing, because there's a lot of people in churches, there's a lot of people that are members, there's a lot of people that are proclaiming and declaring that Jesus is King. And there's a lot of people going to all nations. There's a lot. There's a massive movement happening all over the world at the moment. And it's awesome. But I so often, and not all, I don't want to generalize, but so often I'm seeing that many are leaving this first mountain far out. Go to the mountain that the Lord told them to go. And when they get there, what are we doing? Are we worshiping? Are we doubting? And I want to kind of just sum this up for our three places, or two places, or one place where we are at the moment. There's a couple of questions. Have we heard the Lord say, go to this mountain? Are we in that position where we know Him, where we are getting to know Him intimately, where we're in that place of hearing His voice, where we can hear Him saying, Brett, go to this mountain that I'm calling you to. And let's call that mountain our workplace, our everyday circumstances. Is that the place where we should be right now? And are we sure we've heard the Lord right? And if so, awesome. What are we doing there? Are we seeing Him? And when we see Him, what are we doing? Are we worshiping? And then as a result of there, being in front of Him in our area of every day, where we've seen Him, we see, sure, Lord, I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm sure it is tough, but I'm seeing You in the midst of my everyday. What now? Go. Reach this one. Serve this one. Pray for that one. Continue in your community. Serve that one at the shop, at home, your neighbor. And there's no ways that I could say this is exactly what you have to do when you get there, because we really need to be spirit-filled in a place of identifying the God need who we can serve that, and as a result build relationship, and as a result walk with and make Him known for who He is. But we need to ask ourselves the question, are we on the mountain? What is those three places? And if not, then we need to come to a place where we need to ask the Lord, Lord, where? What is my purpose? Where am I supposed to be? I want to be in a place where I hear Your voice and say, sure, this is the mountain that the Lord is calling me. I'm on my way there. When I get there, what do I focus on? What can I do? How can I do this? How can I do all these great things? How can I make no? Am I seeing Him in the midst of these three places? What He desires, His passion. And that means that I need to spend time with Him to say, well, I'm here, Lord. What do I need to see here? How do I see You in the midst of this? And as a result, I can almost assure you that you will be inspired, encouraged, motivated to go out to all nations. It's a therefore, go out to all nations, as a result of knowing that He's got all authority, as a result of knowing that this is Jesus and He's in the midst of my everyday. And I want to make Him known, because so many people have not seen Him the way that I see Him. So it comes as a result of. And so I say that this knowing Him and making Him known, there's absolutely no way that you can separate it. And if it is separated, then it is disastrous. And if it is not, then slowly we'll be able to make Him for who He is. And it comes out of just loving, desiring Him. That was my experience. I got to know God. I fell in love with Him. The more time that I chose to spend with Him, the more I fell in love with Him. And the more time that I started walking with Him, intentionally desiring to obey His word, I started having this compelling, pulling towards, but people don't know Him. They don't see Him. And it wasn't a Brett thing. It was a God thing. Where He said, I so desperately want them to see me for who I am. And I'm somehow calling you to be a part of it. Go to this mountain that I'm calling you. And when you get there, Brett, here I am. I want to show you how to serve where you are. And so, again, let us be reminded of where we're at every day. And how can we serve these basic things to be the church? How can we just be super practical and basic every day of just identifying a need? And it's not just dishing out a bunch of money to people that need. It's not about that. It's about identifying someone that you think that you can walk consistently with and serve them and use that as a tool to get involved with them, just to be involved with them in life. And then, intentionally, let them trust you. You've got to be consistent where they see you. Oh, this person, for some reason, is just always involved. It's really real. This is one of the biggest dangers. We've got a bunch of great ideas, strategies, and I test myself in this. Is this a good idea that I'm involved with? Or is it a place of being on a mountain, seeing him, knowing what the need is, and going down and serving and making disciples of all nations? Or is it just a good idea? Because if it's a good idea, then it's not going to be, it's not going to bear eternal fruit. And we really want to be bearing eternal fruit. And the only way that eternal fruit is going to come is if we know what the truth is. We can't do that. It's not to do us. We're amongst wolves. And it's not to put anyone down, it's just how the world is at the moment. And we need our shepherd to operate in the midst of our everyday. So again, let's get practical. Think of those people in the midst of your everyday, whether it's your neighbors, and if you need to invite them over the meal and it's super awkward, let it be awkward. If you see a widow or family members or whoever it is, old people in your community, and you can see their garden is in a mess because they just cannot do it, let's get practical. Let's go serve those people. And let's be consistent with doing that. And yes, it's going to count. It's going to cost you something. Going to cost you time, and it's going to be awkward in the beginning. It's not going to be like this is weird, but over a couple of months or a couple of weeks, things become natural, and over time you get to know the person and you hear their heart and you hear their desires and walk with them consistently, so that you can make them get to kind of just have a glimpse of our God. But if we are not in a place where we know them, all of the above is not relevant. So, so I want to encourage it, maybe if I can ask for permission, but afterwards when you're having coffee, if you're in a place where you say, well, I haven't come to that place, that mountain, where God is calling me, then after, while people are drinking coffee, let's pray with you guys. If you're in a place where you said, well, I have come to that mountain, I have been on top and I have heard the Lord and I'm serving in the community, but I just feel up to here, I don't want to carry on, we want to pray with you. Wherever you are in the midst of what we've shared today, and if you feel that I need a bit of prayer in this, or I need a bit of wisdom, or I need a bit of whatever it is, the only way that we can operate in this, and I didn't say it there, is if we operate in body. That we're not doing this alone. That somehow in our cell groups we are praying for these people specifically, asking for wisdom, needing whatever it is that we need, and operating together. So if there's a desire that you have, or if there is a desire to be reborn, baptized, all the things that I've said, then come afterwards while we're drinking coffee and let's pray and let's make sure that this full journey with Christ of knowing him and making him known can become a reality. Maybe we are there, we know him. Need help, wisdom, whatever, it's great. So just to wrap it up, I'm going to pray for us, and then you can bring some good coffee, please. Stick around. The weather's beautiful today, it's not so hot. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that we cannot operate without you. So I pray that we will be dependent. I pray, Jesus, that we will be in a place of reverence of who you are and your power and your majestic ways. And that we'll come to a place, whether we've known you for 30 years or known you for one or don't know you at all, I pray that we will consistently and continue to be in awe of you, where we will grow in relationship with you, Lord. We need this. We need you, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you will guide us as we walk with you. Through your Spirit, encourage us, motivate us, comfort us in the midst of our lack of understanding. And when we try to figure it all out, Lord, I really pray in Jesus' name that we would just come back and rest in you and be dependent on you, and to be in a place where we can hear your voice and hear where you are calling us, Lord, to the people that you are calling us in the midst of our everyday. How can we serve them? Send us, Lord. We want to be sent, but we want to be in a place where we are constantly hearing from you. We don't want to be involved with fruit that is not going to be eternal, Lord, so therefore we ask for your wisdom. We need your grace in this, Lord, and we desire your mercy. We know that we are being sent amongst wolves, and therefore we ask you to continue to shepherd us, because we will be overtaken. We love you, Lord, and we want to honor you in the midst of our everyday. We know that the best way of honoring you, Lord, is just to see you for who you are and to share you for who you are. So take us deeper into relationship with you. Give us wisdom. You ask, you say in your scripture, James, if we need wisdom, ask for it. And therefore this morning I ask for wisdom to identify people in the midst of our everyday, in our community, that we can serve consistently. That we can make you known consistently and walk with consistently after they know you. I pray that we will not take discipleship lightly, Lord, but we will know that it's a walking with every day, counting the cost. And that we will not be scared to count the cost, but we will be excited, knowing that it's part of your journey with us and the fullness of the result. Give us that grace that we will know that this is a beautiful way of life. We will be the people of the way, as you say in the scripture. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord. We can respond. I pray that we will. And if there's anyone that has a desire to respond, give them a touch. So they can start journeying with you or continue journeying so that life will become full for them, but more importantly, pleasing to you. I pray this in Jesus' name.